not recruiting. Yeah, oh, he played against us, yeah. Very, very good football player. Actually, son of former Patriot linebacker Ed Reynolds. Big, physical, 6'1", 207. Extremely intelligent, has another high football IQ guy. We'll do a good job in terms of what we're looking for in the safety. Quarterback and the defense back there, getting us lined up, putting us in the right positions. Could have gone back for another year at Stanford, chose to come out. You know, I think he probably would have been picked a little bit higher if he went back for another year because he had an injury and missed a year. I think he played as a freshman and then missed a year. So really happy to get him, enjoyed him. He was a kid we brought in on a top 30 visit and get a chance to see him and sit down and talk football. And I know our defensive coach is really happy with him. So.
Coincidence that, you know, there's some bloodlines involved here. You mentioned he's the son of an NFL player. Jerry Rice is the cousin of, Jordan Matthews. And Sammy Watkins is half-brother.
Half-brother of
Watkins.
It's like 6 degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon. Or I mean, it's probably a coincidence, I think. You know, the one thing about him is he's grown up around the game, you know, and you can sense that when you're around him. You know, I think that's the one thing about Ed is how much he really loves playing football. So, physical, hard nose, what you're looking for. And again, like I said earlier, I think if he went back, he probably would have he would have been drafted higher in next year's draft. So I think we really feel good about getting him.
Chip, was the 12th pick different than the 2013 pick? Because he was a big-time player in 2012.
Yeah, I think there's I think there's ebbs and flows. Depends on which games you look at. You know, I think when you're picking guys on this day, there's going to be something. You know, there's not a consistency in terms of play. Some games are better in certain games against different people. There's just a little bit more up and down. You know, and I think when it's really clean every single time you put the tape on, then those guys are probably the ones that get picked a little bit higher. So,
how was he used most often? Was he back free safety or in the
He box? Did both. You know, and that's the one thing. They do run a 3-4 scheme at Stanford. You know, they do a really good job with it. Derek Mason, who's actually the head coach of Vanderbilt, had run their defense for the years that Ed was there. So, it's a pretty complicated scheme. It's an NFL scheme, obviously, you know, with David Chaub being there. And David's got NFL background in him. So I think that's the other thing about him is I think he was really exposed to a really, really good defensive system at Stanford. So that's going to help him transition to the NFL a little bit easier than some other guys.
And did you cover tight ends and slot receivers?
Yeah, he did it all for him. So, you know, that's another thing that sometimes it's tough when you're evaluating some guys on film because you see all their athletic ability, but you're not sure how it's going to translate when you see people that run similar schemes to what are run at this level, which Stanford does. You know, it really helps in your evaluation because you're not guessing and projecting. You're saying, hey, here's evidence that he's done it. So,
how do you balance going with best available player when you have a lot of depth at a position? You now have a lot of safeties.
We can't win, can we? No matter what position you picked it. If I took an offensive player, we would get, you guys don't take any defensive players. Now we're taking defensive players and we're taking too many. I don't think we have a lot of depth at safety, to be honest with you. I think we got Malcolm, Nate, Earl Wolf, and then Chris Maragos came here, and Keelan Johnson was on our practice squad. So, you know, I don't.
That's six,
but we got to have 90 to go to camp. So, you know, we had more last year. You know, I look at it as, we lost Pat, we lost Coleman, and we lost Colt Anderson. So we replaced with Jenkins and we replaced with Maragos. We're still down one in the way we look at it. And we carried five safeties last year on our 46 active roster. So, we only have five right now. So obviously there's going to be competition and there's going to be a battle behind, you know, Malcolm and Nate and, you know, how Earl fits into it. You know, those three guys I think are a little bit more established. How does Chris fit in? You don't know, but I don't think, you know, it's one position. I don't think we have, you know, there's certain positions that if you said depth, I would say we got depth at quarterback. You know, I felt like we have depth at running back. But we it was a real conscious effort that looking at the safety position in terms of being able to get someone in there. And he really body type 6'1", 207 fits with what you're looking for an NFL safety.
And a scouting report did what kind of scouting report did Ertz give on him? I know that he was practicing out there this off season.
Yeah, I think they obviously train. I think David does a good job. A lot of those Stanford kids, Zach was telling me, go back actually to Stanford to work out. You know, so there was a bunch of kids you know, in this draft that we're working out. Obviously, Dave's got a tremendous program out there and has been highly, highly successful. So a lot of those guys in the area, I know Zach and Ed are really good friends and probably competed against each other a lot just in one-on-ones in practice. So Zach had really good things to say about him. So.
You look at the safety depth.
You mentioned that. Are you comfortable with that safety depth now and maybe even
now,
more so?
No, we may still take another one. So, you know, we're still looking, you know, as this thing, as it winds up. And, you know, we knew going into it, and we picked up an extra pick, we were going to draft six or seven guys, and then we got to get another, you know, 15, 16 free agent type guys in here. We had 68 on the roster, so we got to bring 22 to get us to 90. So that's kind of what the rest of this day in terms of us getting aligned of, you know, seeing who doesn't get picked today. You know, we got one more opportunity to select a player, but then go out and find the Jake Knotts and the Matt Tobins of the world that made our team last year, you know, as free agents so we can create some competition. So
when you look at the guys you added both in this draft so far and free agency with respect to your special teams, how much better do you feel about your special teams right now than maybe at the end of last year?
We do feel better, you know, and it was an emphasis. Obviously, I think people can tell by the additions that we made, but that's a, you know, real conscious decision of us is that we had to upgrade, you know, really our coverage units in terms of how we were doing things. And we felt like with Nolan Carroll and with Chris and with Brian Brayman and then with some of these guys that we drafted that's really going to help us. And that's kind of at times when we're looking at players, you know, especially today, we usually have a dot on their tag that, you know, from their tag. So the person with the dot is a, you know, going to be a core special teams player in terms of our opinion. And so far with decisions that we're making, we're erroring that way, that if there's two guys of equal and this kid's a better teams player, then we're going to take the guy who's a better teams player. So,
is he in the same situation as Ertz last year where he's going to miss a part of the OTAs?
I don't know yet. I haven't figured that. I'm just trying to get that from those guys. I don't know if he has graduated or hasn't graduated yet.
This year he's returning for the spring quarter, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's two – on the quarter system – I don't know when it ends for him, so he could fall into that though. There's five schools. There's I think it's Oregon State. He does. He's got to go back. Okay.
So is that a concern at all? Because you had mentioned Ertz there was a catch up time last year with him. Same with Boyd. Is that a concern for you?
Those are the rules. So I mean, there's nothing we can do about him. So we can't get him changed. So we'll deal with him. You know, with technology nowadays, you're allowed to Skype and talk to those guys and. You know, they're just not going to be here, and obviously he'll be behind. But and, you know, Zach got through it. But that's the rules are the rules, so there's nothing you can do about it. So,
the benefit of seeing players up close and knowing them with the Oregon guys, and that they've also had some backpack 12 players, also players that you played against LSU, et cetera. And I think Jimmy Johnson kind of did the same thing in his first few drafts, taking players that he knew a lot about, some that he recruited. You recruited a bunch of guys last year. Can you talk a little bit about that process and? Did you go into any of these drafts thinking that, you know, I have some of the guys in my head that I saw over all these years, and if I have the opportunity and it's the right round, et cetera, right round, I'm going to try and go get them?
No, I don't look at it that way, but I do believe I have a knowledge because I've seen them in person, so I can weigh in on them with, you know, not just, hey, my evaluation of them on tape is this. You know, I've got a chance to see a few of the guys that we've taken live, so, but it's not a, let's take him because I saw him live over, let's take him. You know, we're still going to go through the whole process and let everybody weigh in. And, you know, there's never been an instance where, hey, I feel this way about him, but everybody else feels this way about him. They don't think he's as good as I think he is, but we're taking him anyways because I know him. So, you know, it's a really a big collaborative effort in terms of that. But I do think it's a benefit that we, not only myself, but some of the assistants, but a lot of the guys were NFLs, you know, Pat, Billy, Fipper and all those guys, but you know, I can defer to guys in the SEC with Jeff Stoutland because he came from Alabama and played against him. You know, so he may know something about him. I know he weighed in on Benny Logan because he had a coach against Benny Logan. You know, so there was a firsthand knowledge. What was it like, Stout, when you were game planning when you were at Alabama when you were going to play against someone like that? So I just think it is helpful to us from that standpoint, but it's not the whole narrative is that we're going to take the guys we know just because we know them. You know, I didn't know anything about Jordan, didn't really know anybody who coached him, but obviously he stands out on tape. Same thing with Marcus Smith. You know, we didn't have inside knowledge. I know I had a great conversation with Charlie Strong about Marcus, but same thing. It helps, but there's not one reason that everybody's a pick. There can't be one thing that you circle back to all the time. So
you said yesterday when this comes up, whether it's Oregon or Pac-12, you ask the other guys, you know what you think. You ask them, you kind of defer to them. But do they kind of bounce it back when these, all right, here's the guy that we're thinking about. Do they come back and then defer to you to make and support the decision?
No. And I don't think when people, I guess when guys make decisions after or what they put a film grade on them, they don't come back to me and say, hey, what did you think of my grade? I mean, the grade is the grade, I guess, from that standpoint. And I think it is good that we have so many different people that we'll get a chance to look at them, because you're always going to have outliers. Someone's going to be high, someone's going to be low, but usually you kind of get in the ballpark, and then when you put them all together, you get a cumulative, you know, decision in terms of where these guys are. So
he was Heston. On the pre-draft visit. What did you decipher from that visit that you didn't know from film?
From film, and those things, football intelligence. You know, it's you can look at film and you're making an evaluation of, you know, this is how he breaks on the ball, this is how he does this, this is how he does that. But, you know, why is he doing it that way, and what was he taught? You know, sometimes you can say, hey, boy, this kid's playing really, really close to the line of scrimmage. Well, maybe he was taught to play really, really close to the line of scrimmage. You know, when guys can give it to us and give it back, you know, we put their tape on and spent a lot of time watching them on film and explain to us what you're doing here. So it gives you a better chance to evaluate them, like what were you asked to do on this play, and then you watch them execute it. Because sometimes, you know, and that's where I myself struggle with it, and I don't know how people do it. Well, you know, the left tackle got beat inside. Well, it was slide protection he doesn't have inside. You know, and the guy on film rating him is that your left tackle gave up a sack. He didn't give up a sack. It was slide protection. The guard had B-gap. The left tackle had C-gap. So when the guy went inside, the left tackle looks like he didn't do the right job, but it was really the left guard that didn't do the right job. So sometimes when you get a chance to sit down and watch film with them, it's, you know, it really clears up the picture for you. It gives you a better understanding of it. And I think, you know, when we put tape on with, you know, Jalen and with Ed, it was amazing their recall of what they were doing. You could tell how sharp they were from a football standpoint. You know, Jordan Matthews was, you know, I think Jordan Matthews blew us away from that standpoint. You know, Jordan Matthews could tell you the play that was being run before we ran it. So we had the tape on, and he would just look at the screen. He goes, that's the Ole Miss game. It's, I remember this, it's 3rd and 13. Here's the whole play call. I ran a dig. Safety jumped out here. You hit play. That's exactly what happened.
He told us he watched the Eagles film before he came.
Yeah, he did. He had a notebook. He broke down 4 of our games and came in with questions for us. So, you know, I think the interview process is can tell you a lot about it. You know, you may have a guy show up here and you say, what do you know about the Eagles? And not much. You know, for a lot of times it's no different than, you know, you're going to take a job at Google or Liberty Mutual or a newspaper, and, you know, what do you know about our company? Nothing. You know, how excited is the employer about hiring this guy, saying, you know, where is he with it? You know, when the guys that we've had, we had Jalen in here, we had Ed in here, we had Marcus in here, we had Taylor in here. Taylor was more, we knew about him, brought Taylor back for a physical recheck. Who else do we have? I think almost everybody we picked we had in here in the 30 visits, so. Josh didn't come, but we went to him. We got a pretty good understanding of them. But the same process that we do when they come here is what we do when we go there, too. So if we know we're not going to get them in on the 30, then we need to get that taken care of when we go out on the road to see those guys. So
you talked about the intelligence thing. 5 of the 6 have already graduated. Stanford guy, obviously, going to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt graduate, et cetera. How much weight do you guys put in the Wonderlic?
I don't put much into it. I've seen guys that really have a great understanding of things and don't put a correlation. I think there's other ways to judge that. So that's not an end all. There are some guys that have been really, really high, but then their football intelligence isn't what it needs to be. And there are other guys that when you say, boy, he's got a low test score, but then when you meet with them or when you go to their campus and talk to the academic support people, what he's like, because the Wonderlic is a time test. So I think sometimes when you meet a guy and find out that untimed, he could have done this, it's no different than the SAT. So that's not a huge thing for us. I think it's really the meetings and sitting down and visiting with them and then finding out how they can process things and give things back to them. Part of our process in the interview process is we teach them things, and then they got to give it back to us. You know, so like they are a rookie sitting in the room and, hey, here's a coverage or here's a route or here's a protection scheme, and then you can kind of find out the give and take that they'll give back to you from that standpoint. But the intelligence part, I think, and everybody in the league, I think, is the same way. I mean, I still think Jimmy Johnson, you know, in the football life, talked about that all the time, that he didn't want dumb players. I need to get smart guys. You know, I think it just it makes things so much easier for you in terms of coach, and you don't have to change things like, hey, we can't do this because, you know, they can't process it. So,
understanding that it's a collaborative effort, the draft process, if there a decision needs to be made between, you know, multiple players who have the same grade, is that you who makes the final decision?
We haven't really gotten there. I know that's, I mean, I think everybody wants to know that, like, if really what happens in there, but it never gets to that point. I think we kind of look at it and analyze it and kind of come to the same conclusion, but I haven't yet sat there and I want him and he wants him, and then, you know, we're going to box for it, you know what I mean? It just hasn't gotten there. I think we can sit down and reason with it, but we disagree a lot, and I think that's a good thing. You know, we're not there. This isn't a building of yes men. I think we really go through it, and then we'll ask questions. You know, well, then tell me your view. Why do you feel this way about him? And then, you know, maybe it's like, you know, I didn't think of it that way. You know, have you ever looked at him like this? Or I think his value here is bigger than that value here. And then, you know, we've come to logical conclusions on it, but we still yet, since I've been here, I know it's only year two, have we ever gotten to a point where we're adamant about one and how he's adamant about another, and it doesn't work that way. It hasn't worked that way. I don't know when we get to that point what's going to happen, but we haven't gotten there. What's that?
In the fight.
I gotta be him.